Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Moving right on through this month of May. Hope that you are having a very prosperous day. And tonight we want you to call in and share with us what's on your mind. Tonight is What's On Your Mind lines wide open for you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660 is the number, and just call that number and use the participant code 549032, press pound, don't forget to press that pound, and press *61 if you would like to get in and share your comments. So tonight, we're going to dip and dab a little bit into some hot news. I do want to touch on this story with African Bambaataa, known in the hip-hop community as the father of hip-hop music in the Bronx. Oh, my God, I remember being a majorette and dancing off of Planet Rock and listening to African Bambaataa's music and the Zulu Nation and people making references to the Zulu Nation. And so now Afrika Bambaataa has been accused of molesting young boys for, gosh, I mean, these people are talking about this stuff happened like 30, 40 years ago, and people knew about this. And I mean, it's just like, are you serious? What is going on? Why do we continue to protect pedophiles in our community? If this is true, people are coming out. I think now it's like four people have said that he actually molested them when they were young. And we'll listen to one of the interviews from a young man. I can't recall his name right now, but I know there's a brother named Ronald Savage. He's accusing Afrika Bambaataa. And another brother. So I don't know. Many people are saying this, but we talk about molestation here at the Lotus Place quite often, and sexual abuse and trauma. And I have to really commend people when they are strong enough to come out and speak about this, especially for men, because it is taboo. Men don't want to admit that they've been molested or raped or beaten by another man. They don't want to admit it by a woman. You know, what man wants to say his wife or girlfriend beats him or is abusive to him? So that's very difficult. So for these men to come out and speak on this, and I listened to some of the interviews, and they talked about their existing sexual dysfunction due to being molested. And I've heard so many people mention that before, how when you're molested at a young age, you become dysfunctional in terms of your sexual life or relationships. You have some difficulties. So I pray that they can have the therapy and recovery that they need, not just these alleged victims, but people all across the world who are suffering and who have suffered, because it is traumatic. It is very traumatic when you have been molested or raped or violated in some kind of way. So we want to touch on that. Also, I certainly want to share this clip that I've listened to a couple of times with Dick Gregory speaking on the passing of Prince, which I'm just still like, oh, my God, I just can't even believe it. I've just been having so much going on this week. It's just the past few weeks, it's just been hard to process everything with Prince and then Afeni Shakur. And, you know, there were a number of people that made the transition over the past few weeks, but Prince just really overshadowed everybody. There were like four or five other not so well-known, quote-unquote, if you want to call celebrities, that passed within the same time frame of Prince's passing. But again, you know, Prince was just such a musical icon. He just overshadowed a lot, some of those other people, like the wrestler China. I think her name was China. She was a wrestler. At first, I thought they were talking about that lady named that little stripper lady. But no, I'm not going to call her stripper lady because she's a businesswoman. China. China.
Question, Black
about
Rose. I'm sorry, but question, and you're exactly right, but did she, China, the WWF or WWE wrestler, did she OD? Did they say that she overdosed? I don't know.
You know what? I think it was something like that. I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the story because I was just trying to find out, was it the Black China young lady? And then I said, oh, okay, so this wrestler lady, and if I'm not mistaken, Scotty, I believe it was something connected to her death with an overdose or something. I'll try to see if I can pull it up before we end the show tonight. So, but yeah, I think it was something kind of suspicious though with her death. So she was a wrestling star, VH1 reality show. Yeah, died from a possible overdose, according to TMZ.
And she actually died the same day as Prince reportedly was found. Same day.
Let me see. Prince passed, what was it, the 21st? And I think she passed the 21st also.
Because I remember thinking exactly what you said, because I saw it come across the Google News feed that China, you know, was found dead, possible overdose, and then I saw Prince. I heard about hers first, you know, and then I heard about Prince, and nobody ever talked about, I never heard about China again until you just brought her up.
She was one, it was her, And to be honest with you, I didn't even really pay attention to the other people's names, really, because, I mean, they weren't significant to me. But there were, like, two, maybe three other people within, like, the same 7 days or so. And, you know, so, of course, a lot of people have been connecting this to a whole ritual and the Queen's birthday and all of this, which, you know, I don't know. I haven't done any research on it. I'm not trying to connect it to the Queen because I'm just not. But I do think that it was something suspicious with Prince's death. I'm not just going on the, he was found in the elevator unresponsive and.
Well, I read today that his doctor left the practice the day of his primary doctor quit the practice and disappeared or something to that effect. I didn't really get into the meat of it, but that's an article that's circulating.
And, you know, it's I can't think of how many years it's been since Michael Jackson passed. But, I mean, why is it that these you have these little shady little doctors that are the primary care physicians for these major mega superstars? But, you know, I don't know, Scotty, because in the entertainment industry, from my understanding, entertainers have always had these little side street, like, doctors, you know, Dr. Feelgoods, to come around and see about them and prescribe this and prescribe that. But, I mean, in the grocery store, I've been seeing these tabloids, Prince died of AIDS, Prince died, he was addicted to prescription drugs and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, you know, I just don't believe in slandering his name. If you don't know if he was addicted, then maybe because I just love Prince. I don't like hearing that. I just don't like hearing the slander of his name, saying that he possibly died from AIDS and he died from this. Prince, look, if he did have AIDS, okay, so what? If he was hooked on drugs, okay, I heard his friends was trying to get him some help. That's great. But, I mean, to come out and slander the man's name like that, I just don't like that at all. I'm just super pissed about that. But nevertheless, I mean, that's what the establishment so-called media does. So they slander your name. Defamation of character. Defamation of Prince's character. All that he's done, all the hundreds of hits, and then you want to come out and say this man is, he died from AIDS, died in the elevator, unresponsive. But now we have some people say that when they found him in the elevator, his throat was slit. So, see, that's why I'm not going on this he died from AIDS crap and he died from whatever and he was on drugs and all of this knowledge, which I think is a great segue right now, since we're on this, to Brother Dick Gregory, because this is what I said when I first heard it. When I first heard that Prince died, I was like, Warner Brothers got him, allegedly. I don't want Warner Brothers to come back and sue me. But I was like, I bet that has something to do with him fighting for his musical masters. Welcome in, Delta. How are you?
Hey. How everybody doing tonight?
Oh, all is well, Delta. All is well.
Yeah, but look, can I chime on something? Y'all had me on mute. I heard Scotty saying something about Black China. I mean, not Black China, China, the one, the wrestling lady. I did see that on the CNN news. They said that she had suffered with severe depression, and they said it was due to all the steroids. She took a lot of steroids to make her body get beefed up, and she was. But she made a video now. She made a video of herself. She went and talked, and they showed it up to a certain degree, and they shut it off. And she took the video, and she was telling everybody that she loved them and that she was sorry, and she told them that she was really had been going through a rough time dealing with the depression and different things, but it was coming from the mood swings from the steroids. But now she killed herself. She deliberately killed herself.
Okay, so she basically
she
like
made a video. She made a video.
Okay.
She made a video, and they played it up to a certain degree. And you know me, I'm always watching the news to be ready. And I saw the video on CNN News. And she was crying. She was crying. She was crying, and you know, she was really distraught. And you know, and then she said that she had a lot of injuries, like from the wrestling and stuff. That's why she had to leave wrestling, because one of her injuries, she got hurt really bad, and she was not able to come back to wrestling.
Yeah, she seemed like she was pretty popular in the wrestling
community.
She was
very popular. Very popular. Then also, I would like to say something that Scott was talking on. I was watching the news today. Now, Prince Doctor, he quit today. He resigned from his job today.
I did see that on
World News tonight. He left his job today because his son, he sent his son to Prince's house. His son was with Prince. Then also on that plane, the doctor was on that plane. That doctor was on that plane with Prince. So, and this is what they saying. You know, I've been trying to keep up with it. They saying that Prince, they knew that he had a severe problem. It got out of hand. Everybody on the staff knew it, but everybody was trying to keep it a hush-hush and trying to secretly get him some help. And they had came, and this is how this doctor came, because the daddy sent his son over that morning.
Yeah, and his son was like a pre-med student or something.
That
like
is
that.
Correct. The daddy sent him because the staff called him and said he was having a rough time. So they sent him over. The daddy sent him over. And they got the records to prove it. So that's how they're tracking him down. But, yes, I don't think he was on drugs. But see, when you be in severe pain, and I can say this, because I have a back injury, and you know I have a leg injury, I have to take medication. And I don't take it all the time. I take it when I really get severe. And if you can't handle that medicine, that medicine will get you. And a lot of people, it'll take you out. You'll get used to it. Your body will really get used to it, and you can't function without it. So I don't think Prince was doing it to start out to get high or anything, because I know how I am with my back. So I'm thinking that it just got out of hand with his back and his knees. And see, he had a hip replacement. Then he needed knee replacement, and he was walking on canes.
Yeah.
So I think it just got out of hand.
Ashir,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, Black Rose, can you open Sarah's line?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't see Sarah. Let me see. We have a call. Maybe this is Sarah. Welcome into the Lotus Place.
Hey, greetings. That's me.
Greetings, Sarah.
Just said
greetings to you.
Hey, greetings, ladies. Jen, Scotty, is that you?
Yes, ma'am.
I had just sent her off a text to see what's going on with you, because I said I had not heard you. I thought maybe you might be on hiatus. So I was sent up a text to ask if you were doing okay. So I'm glad that to hear you live on the radio tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, talking about that print.
Yes, ladies, and just I'll get my bad manners. Greetings to you all, and it's been a while. I've been working. I have a couple jobs that I'm doing. I have a part-time job that I'm working, so it has been interfering with my radio listening pleasure. So
oh,
I'm off.
Today.
Yes, I'm off today and tomorrow, so it has given me time. That's why I was able to call in tonight. But that's what's been going on with me, why I have not been able to call into a lot of radio shows. But to what Delta was speaking on Black Rose in regards to this prison situation, I don't believe nothing that's in the media that they're writing up about Prince and his addiction and what they're alleging that has happened to him. That man had, he didn't have any drug problem. You see, this has always been the case with Black people. When they kill us, they always got to demonize us in our death, as they do with all of our people that the police shoot and kill. They always got to go looking for criminal records. And it's the same thing that they are doing with Prince. By the way, Michael Jackson is coming up on his 7th anniversary, because he died in 2009, was when Michael Jackson was killed. So this year, June coming up, will make it 7 years for Michael Jackson. But the situation with Prince, no. Because we have a long history of Black people who have retained their royalties, who have all of a sudden they end up dead, and then all of a sudden it's an overdose. You started off with Jimmy Hendrix. You have the situation with Donnie Hathaway, that he allegedly jumped out of some hotel room, and now they're trying to say, okay, he had mental issues. You know, this mental issues only came about after Donnie Hathaway was dead, after they pushed him out this hotel room window. Same thing with Phyllis Hyman. The same thing with Phyllis Hyman. Oh, she committed suicide. And all of these people have in common, they all linked to Clive Davis. Same thing with Whitney Houston. They all go right back to Clive Davis.
They all have some tie to him. You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that about Donny Hathaway, because I think it was on a documentary that I watched on him. And, you know, the story has always been that he was dating, I think, Roberta Flack at that time, and they were having some issues and all of this stuff. And this is what I recall as a young girl. And actually, it was another little side story that she had put some kind of little spell on him, because her and Chaka Khan was into this witchcraft and all of this kind of stuff. And he jumped out the window. And I never really believed all of that. But now, I wondered, though, were the mental issues present prior to his death or what? So none of that came out until after his death, you're saying?
Exactly. But the same thing with Phyllis Hyman. They come in and say, oh, she had depression and she had weight issues, because her weight kept going up and down. She had issues because of Clive Davis and the contract that she was under and how they were cheating her out of her money. The same thing happened to the DeBarge, because of DeBarge, all of them, they were all under the same thing with Clive Davis, you know, with him. And they had the same issue. So what they're going to do, they're going to pick little things like the DeBarge had issues with molestation and abuse in their family from their father. So they're going to use that as a catalyst to say, okay, because you see, they pick people who they know have these flaws on them, so that when they finally kill them, they can point to those flaws and say, okay, well, they had sexual abuse issue and all of this, you know, abuse of drugs. That is why these things happened to them. But going back to Donny Hathaway and Phyllis Hyman, they all had contract issues with Clive Davis and his record and how they were being cheated. We go back with Marvin Gaye. You know, we could go reach all the way back to all of these Black artists.
Otis Redding, right?
Otis Redding, the same thing, too. He ended up playing, you know, mysteriously, him and one of the Barclays, the guy from the Barclays was on the same plane with him, and he managed to survive the crash. You know, they always find a way of killing these people when they want to take control of their musical empire. The situation with Prince and what Prince did, Prince had total control of his music. He got back his catalog. He got back everything that with him. You see how Prince compared to Michael Jackson, he was very, very intellectually astute. The only thing that he had a problem with, them damn white people that he surrounded himself with. And I guess it had to do with him being born and raised in Minnesota with all them damn, Neanderthals out there. that the snow has affected him in such a way that he has, you know, he has been in cold, but you could see he was gradually weaning himself away from them because, you see, the boy cut off all of his process and he started going natural. He went back to his afro.
Yes, he sure did. You remember he did that benefit concert for Freddie Gray. He made a song about Baltimore.
Yeah, very conscious. Yes. You see, he was becoming too conscious, becoming too involved. Because remember when he started talking about the chemtrails and he started talking about the government and the things that is being done. He was saying too much and he was too clear. He was too much aware. And now they're trying to say that he was on. Prince is a Jehovah's Witness, and like I've always told people, I have family members who are Jehovah's Witness. If those people have a broken limb, you would be hard-pressed to drag them to a hospital. They're going to get over their Bible. They're going to pray about it. They're going to do laying on. They're going to pour oil, holy water, whatever it is they're going to do. They are not going to no doctor because one thing with them, they don't believe in drawing blood. They don't believe in taking medication because it's against them to violate their body, which is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. They don't do that. They don't drink caffeine. They don't do alcohol. They don't do drugs. So for them to come and say that Prince was on Percocet and all of this stuff, it's a lie. Because a lot of people have said that the concert that Prince used to put on at Paisley Park, one of the stipulations was when you come into his compound, there was no alcohol, no illegal drugs, none of that stuff. You couldn't bring it into his place when he was giving those concerts. So I find it hard-pressed that all of a sudden now you're going to say that this man was OD on drugs. They killed him.
Yeah.
They killed him.
I believe it. I do not believe that he was hooked on any kind of drugs. I just can't.
He didn't have AIDS either. Because, you know, as freaky as Prince was and all this, you never heard Prince's name come up with child molestation. He raped any woman, raped anybody's boys, their dogs or anything. You never heard none of that. Compared to Michael Jackson and them others. You never heard him involved in a sex scandal.
Mm-mm.
He has never been involved in one. So for them all of a sudden now that you're going to come up and start dropping all of these things and lying on the man in his bed, because first of all, they had enough time to destroy his will just like they did with Michael Jackson. All of a sudden, this man is so astute, he got his music catalog back, and he's dead and he ain't got no will. That's a bunch of bull.
You know what?
They bought up the man's will.
You know they did. This video that I'm going to play, this clip, Dick Gregory is talking about, I think it's in this clip, and he's speaking about how is it now this mega superstar music icon got people that dust the lint off his jacket, comb his hair, lay his clothes out, but you don't have a will? Come on now.
This is not true because they killed him on Black Rose. They had enough time after he died because from the time the 911 call came in, they had enough time to ransack that house, get all of his personal papers, try and get access to his vault with his music because now all of a sudden, you know, they're drilling into his vault, they're stealing. They've been stealing stuff out of that man's house before the body was even colder in the damn morgue. They were stealing.
You know they did. I don't know if you heard the show when Mother Hattie was on here. You know, Mother Hattie's right up there. And, near Minneapolis, and she said that what they're saying there, people that are
close
and no Prince.
She said that his neck was split.
Oh, I'm hearing an echo.
That's disturbing me.
His neck was split in the elevator. So I believe it was a murder.
Which is stuff.
Actually, I was disconnected. We lost our connection to the server, and I'm just rejoining. It should clear up in just a bit here, but I'll let's go ahead and take a break. Go ahead and take our first break, and hopefully it'll resolve itself. It does that sometimes, but if you keep talking, my line will stop that doing that. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Queen turned 90.
Hmm?
The queen just turned 90. It was a big celebration. And coincidentally, it was the same day the prince passed away.
And it was the same day she was here in Washington, D.C. Mm. Front page of the Washington Post. Mm. Got her family dressed in pink, purple. And that's when she announced that Charles won't get, it's going to skip over him and point to the little boy, the prince. the same day they killed Prince. Yeah. They killed Prince on the plane. And that plane is owned by Warren Buffett. So those are the games they play, man.
Well, let's talk about Prince, because you knew Prince, right?
No, he knew me.
Okay.
He talked about me because of the... I don't hang out with entertainers. Okay. But there's no way that now that they come out that he died from AIDS. Okay? Well, remember, the night that he died the next day, he was on the plane. That same night they put him on the plane, he did a one-man concert at 8 o'clock and then another one. You saw it? Did it look like he was dying from AIDS?
No.
Okay, this case closed.
Why did they want him dead now?
See, you ask me shit that I don't qualify to answer.
Okay.
Why did they want him dead now? Huh?
I'm asking.
Because the white folks that killed him, they're not like niggas and ignorant white folk. I'll kill you, motherfucker. They do it 10 years later. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had to guess, I think when he went into that record company and talked to them folk with that slave thing on it, that's what got him killed. Mm-hmm. He didn't kill no nigga for no money. That ain't nothing but chump change he got. Chump change.
So... Like a lot of people are saying, he had gotten the rights to his recordings.
He got the what?
The rights to his master recordings.
Well, they tell you that so you can repeat it. How you know?
He had said it.
Huh?
He had said it. His lawyer.
How you know that was him? How you know who the fucking lawyers was? Huh?
Okay.
Huh? That's where you... See, you talking to the master, but I got the listeners. You know how many agents? The number one government agent is the mayor of Chicago's brother. Huh? Okay? Ain't nothing but CIA. Huh? So y'all come with this little weak shit. Huh?
Well, I'm just curious.
No, you can't be curious out of ignorance.
Okay.
Huh?
All right. So...
I just told you what I thought.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But they're going to tell you the motherfucker didn't have no insurance, no will. What they got motherfuckers do is half before you go out on stage. Motherfuckers switch the back of his clothes, make sure ain't no lint on it. But they can convince you he didn't have no goddamn. If you hate all your family, you do what that woman did, the billionaire woman in New York, Hensley, left it to her goddamn dog. But y'all can't even see that because these crackers told you about the nigger. Huh? It's a game. It's a fucking game, man. And the most important thing, the plane he was on is owned by Warren Buffett. He's the one who rented the planes.
So there were pictures that TMZ circulated, supposedly of Prince riding a bicycle and waiting outside of a Walgreens.
I'm surprised you asked me that. I mean, this is for the people. Mm-hmm. That was after he came back from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Mm-hmm. Day before he died, mm-hmm. outside the compound. Mm-hmm. And you didn't see no crowds around the motherfucker? Hey, Prince. Huh? Mm. Hmm? Then who in the fuck is TMZ?
They're owned by Time Warner.
And who the fuck is Time Warner?
His old record company.
Huh?
His old record company.
Okay, it's close. Hmm? Mm-hmm. It's a game. Mm-hmm. We even investigated the fucking mayor. The mayor of that little town said he ain't never met Prince. Okay? Mm. Oh? Okay. It's a game, man. Mm. Hmm?
So, I mean, the last thing on that, I know Tavis Smiley after Prince.
Huh?
After Prince passed, Tavis Smiley said that he introduced you to Prince and that you had talked.
He introduced him to a show I did. I've never met Prince.
Okay.
Hmm. I don't hang out with entertainers nor athletes.
Okay.
Hmm.
So he saw when you did the State of the Black Union
address, yeah. mm-hmm.
and talked about the chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
You turned him on to something.
So. Truth don't have to be validated by ignorance. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be validated, mm-hmm. especially by an entertainer.
Two other things. Since we last talked, I know you said that Michael Jackson, his passing, he was killed, but it had nothing to do with the Sony catalog, but the estate just sold the rights back to the Beatles catalog back.
That didn't happen until after he was dead. Mm-hmm. He bought the Beatles for $12 million. After they killed him, they sold it for $2 billion. Mm-hmm. That's white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Nigga, you can't own this.
Well, this may be unrelated. I don't know. It just happened yesterday as we taped this, but Tupac's mom just passed away.
Yeah. Well, the important thing about Tupac's mom is the movie that just came out last Friday with the number one acting guy in the world now.
Oh, Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
Movie? Yeah. Building a hologram? The hologram.
The first person they used on a fucking hologram was Tupac after he died. Wasn't it? You ever put that together? Mm-hmm. And then all at once, he's in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And nobody's seen the king in 2 years, and the king show up, hologram. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday, that bitch there. Huh?
Mm-hmm. America promotes you to be Donald Trump.
Yeah.
America promotes that. This is the way you want to be. You want to be rich. You want to be powerful. You don't want to give a damn about nobody else. Mm-hmm. You want to do what you want to do, say what you want to say. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm a capitalist.
And when you look at someone like a Trump and a Cruz being popular, it means a lot of people are upset over what these people are saying is wrong with America. There are a lot of people who are upset where they feel too many people of color are going to usurp their positions in life.
All right, and so that was Dick Gregory speaking on Prince and the foolery around his passing. Oh my God, I used to love Prince. Delta, I know you didn't like Prince music, but I grew up on Prince's music and I loved his music, and I have to stand with Dick Gregory on this one. I don't believe any of that. I don't think he had AIDS. I don't think, like you said, Sarah, I don't think he was addicted to drugs. My uncle is a Jehovah's Witness, and I know a lot of their little practices and idiosyncrasies and all of that. So, They are very conscientious about what they put in their bodies. My uncle, he doesn't drink, doesn't take any kind of medication, none of that. They're just all about working and going out talking about their Jehovah's Witness stuff. So those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts on all of this, all of the rumors surrounding Prince's death. And I tell you, I don't get a chance to see the news and all of that, but I've been seeing those little tabloids when I'm in the grocery store. And I just say, are you serious? Really? I mean, really, just coming up with any and everything. Next thing you know, they'll be saying something about him with a dog or some stupid, just anything. They just say anything. Whatever they say, I just always say they lying. They are straight up lying about it. Unless I can do some research and find out something myself, I don't believe nothing these people say. They make up stuff as they go. We're back here at the Lotus Place. Delta, you have some hot topics for us?
Yes, I do. Okay. Well, we got a little a young man in your city, Ashir. He took this ace. Let me get my paperwork for y'all. Don't get mad at me. In Memphis, his name is he's 16 years old. No, he's 15 years old, and he took the ACT test, and he scored the perfect score in Memphis, and he's a young black male, 15 years old.
Yay.
And his last name is Moore, and I just want to give a shout out. You know, y'all told me get positive stuff, so I was getting positive because a lot of times you have so much negative stuff about young black men, but this young black boy, young man, 15 years old, in a perfect. He scored 36. The perfect score at 15 years old, and all these colleges and different schools, colleges and different places reaching out. And then let's go to the city of Chicago. You know, all we hear about Chicago is shooting and killing and going on. We don't believe in this. We don't believe in that. You know about Chicago. Everything you hear about Chicago is bad. Bad, they want to say, okay, now out of Chicago, this young black lady was homeschooled, and I know you always talking about black roles. You always talking about we need to start doing something for ourselves, and a lot of us need to start homeschooling our kids. Well, this mother and father took their kids out of school, and took their daughter out. Her name is Shaniqua. Took her out of the public school and homeschooled her. This young lady has a master's degree. Now she is getting her PhD, and she will be getting that in May. Like the end of May, and she's from Chicago. She's 16 years old, and she's black. So these are positive things that's going on in our black community that you don't hear on the news. You don't hear this at all on the news. And then all you want to hear is bad. And also, where you residing at now in Texas, on TV One by Martin Rowland, there have been several cases coming from Texas, from your place, saying that these black kids is getting counterfeit money. Where are these black kids getting counterfeit money from? And but this young girl had $10. Another young man had $10. Another one had $10. But the kid said they're getting it from the stores. Do you not know? And I believe there's a setup going around. It's a setup going around. And they most of these kids are straight A students. They honor students. And they are giving these kids records. And the kids are trying to tell them, hey, I got this money from the store. I ain't stole this. My parents gave me this. One boy said he found $10 on the ground. And they are taking all these black kids, it have been about five of them, on Roland Martin. And they are prosecuting them and trying to give them felonies. And these are honor roll black students. There is a conspiracy going on to try to give these black kids records. But the last young man that they arrested, his mother and father said that they would not give their son a record. If they have to spend every dollar they have, said they are deliberately going and picking these black kids and giving them records. So that's something we really need to really get off into. Where are they getting the counterfeit money from? Why all of a sudden the counterfeit money is coming up in the black community? See, you got some people that come and deliberately put stuff in your neighborhood. And also, now let me give you another case, another hot topic. Right here going on, and if you see a number with 228, and I told the young lady she can call in tonight and talk about her story, but there's a case that's going on in my hometown in Goshen, Mississippi, where this postal worker, she was arrested, a white girl, 31 years old, 31 now. She was arrested, and she was driving and got a DUI. She hit a parked car and towed the car out. Right here in Goshen, Mississippi. Now we have another black man back here about 2 years ago, worked for the same post office, and he got a ticket. He got a ticket for driving drunk. He was fined. Now, why all of a sudden this white girl hadn't got fired? So this going on right here in my town in Goshen, Mississippi. And the young lady wanted to talk about this story. So I told her to call in. So if you see a 228 number, that's her on the line. So these are our hot topics. Oh, and then we got another one. Can I give you this last one? We got a mother, a 20-year-old mother coming out of Los Angeles, California. Now, you know, back in the day, they used to say they loved the light skin. They used to love light skin. But this lady had a baby. She was so upset because her baby's skin was light. Now, you know, this got to be mental illness, though, right here. She took the baby and put the baby in the oven because she was trying to darken his skin.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, to me, I think that's mental illness. So those are my hot. So those are my hot. Oh, and then let's go to this South Carolina. Michael Slater, the one that shot the black, the Michael Slater that shot the up in South Carolina, he shot the black
man.
Walter Scott. Now he was discharged today by the federal government. And they charged him as a hate crime. You know, they went on today and charged him. Now, let's see what they're going to do with it. Now, you said they took it up, they indicted him, the federal government, as a hate crime. So let's see what they're going to do with it. If it's a hate crime, why is he out of jail? Why would you even give him a bond if it's a hate crime? Why would you let him out?
Because he's a white former cop.
It just don't make no sense. Just don't make no sense. And those are our hot topics for today.
I don't understand why it was charged as a hate crime, because we need to start getting locked into these hate crime things, because hate crimes have a statute where you could only do a limited amount of time. You're not going to do a time based on the sentencing guidelines for a hate crime, not as much as you would do for a premeditated murder. Because what he did was a deliberate premeditated murder. That man was running away from him. He shot him in the back. Then he tried to frame him up while the man was laying on the ground by moving the taser and putting it next to him to say, okay, he snatched my taser. Now, if they look for the sentencing guidelines based on the statute in South Carolina to see what you would get for first-degree murder versus the time that you're going to get for a hate crime, is going to be less. So we need. So that is a trick bag that white people have put on to us, telling us that when these incidents happen between a black and white, that you treat it as a hate crime. No, it's not a hate crime. You need to treat it as a criminal offense. Because the penalty is greater for you to treat it as a criminal offense than for you using the hate crime statute.
So, in other words, they're trying to, once again, pull another one.
That's why they put the hate crimes on the book. That is why they put that on the book, because for white people, it's a get-out-of-jail, because most times, based on the sentencing guidelines, they're going to do less than 10 years. If you do them for murder one or premeditated murder, you're going to do a longer stretch in prison than you would for a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
And black people have been running with this saying that we want to charge us a hate crime. Hell to the no. You don't want to charge, because first of all, you don't know what their emotional state was at the time when the incident happened. Because hate is an emotion. You don't know what their emotions were. All you do know is that it was a premeditated, deliberate act of them taking a life. That you do know for a fact. And we need to stop getting ourselves entangled in these semantics, which is foolishness.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Sarah, because, you know, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't even register that if you are charged with a hate crime, like you said, the sentencing is not as extreme as it would be if it was just a regular premeditated murder charge, which you may get 10, 20 to life or something. But
yes, because you know what, Black Rose, I don't mean to cut down, but Sarah just thought of a good point, because I just thought about something. Because there's an article today in my state, in Mississippi, where this guy was charged with a hate crime, and he ran over this black man and killed him. Do you not know he was charged and did a hate crime? And think, Sarah, he only served 4 years. And it made the paper today because everybody is mad about it. And the young man's mother is furious over it. This white man only served 4 years for killing this black boy and running over him. And it was a hate crime.
Yes, I remember, because they showed you on TV where they deliberately backed up their truck and run the man over. It was a black man right over there in Jackson, Mississippi. I think he used to work for the Nissan plant in Jackson, Mississippi, where that accident happened, and they ran him and they killed him. You see, that is what they can do with, like I said, with a hate crime. They give you a time, an 8-year stretch. And then if you have good behavior, and with the overcrowding in the prison and all of that, and he's a white boy, they're going to, you can do, all you have to do is half of that sentence, and you get out.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, you took a black man's life, you only have to do half of an 8-year stretch, and then you out. If it would have charged him with a deliberately active murder, because they're delivered with him and a couple of white girls. The couple of white girls, they got probation. The white boys were the ones who got the prison time. So here it is, with them in this truck and backed up and ran this man over. All that was a deliberate murder act, because they know by backing up and running somebody over, you intend to kill them. Because the whole idea, when they left home, they were looking for somebody black to victimize.
Yep.
So those were some young
white children. And
yeah,
you're exactly right. Yeah, they were teenagers, and they let them off scot-free, pretty much.
And think about it, and then you're going to give Michael Vick 18 months
for some freaking dog.
In Leavenworth, of all places, they sent him up there to Leavenworth to do his time 18 months while these white boys, they didn't go to Parchment, because that's where they have the death chamber in Mississippi, at Parchment. They didn't send him up there. They sent him to some easy prison for them to do their little 4 years and then know he's out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's telling y'all you need to stop using this hate crime. You need to stop letting these people swindle you and tell you that when white people do something to you, that you need to go for a hate crime charge. All you're doing, you're cheating yourself.
Well, there you have it. Let's not fall for the hate crime charges.
Go for
the full ride. Listen, did you ladies hear about the West Point cadets that were cleared over their fist-raising photo? So these ladies, they graduated from West Point, and they raised their fist in the picture, Black Power fist sign. And so they were reprimanded for holding up their fist. I'm just going to pull up the article. Let me just read this. So the U.S. Military Academy announced Tuesday that the 16 cadets photographed in the old corpse photo will not be published. People were trying to say that when they raised their fists, it was about political activism, and some had suggested that it was about showing unity and pride. And so a statement from one of the cadets says, as members of the profession of arms, we are held to a high standard where our actions are constantly observed and scrutinized in the public domain. Now, this was from the Academy Superintendent, Lieutenant General Robert L. Castlin, Jr. We must all understand that a symbol or gesture that one group of people may find harmless may offend others. As Army officers, we are not afforded the luxury of a lack of awareness of how we are perceived. The photo went viral after some West Point cadets sent their photograph to a political blogger. An official inquiry was opened after the image began circulating on social media. We can confirm that the cadets in this photo are members of the U.S. Military Academy's class of 2016. So they started looking into why they raised their fists up on the picture. And some people on social media complained that the cadets were supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. Mary Tobin, a mentor to the cadets, said the raised fists were not politically motivated. They weren't doing it to be aligned with any particular movement or any particular party. It was, we did it and we did it together, Tobin said of the picture. They are proud, point blank. And while I would not have advised them to display the fist while taking this traditional picture, my advice would have been solely rooted in the fact that we exist in a very racially and politically charged environment, and not everyone will understand what you meant, is what she advised them.
It's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of bull, because I saw it with 16 black women who were graduating cadets from West Point, black women, and anything that black people do is always a political statement. It always got to link back to Black Lives or the Black Panthers or something. They always got to make a political statement. If reverse that and you put a bunch of white women that graduated and have their fist up in the air and show, yeah, we made it, it would not have been a statement. It would not have been looked at as a political statement. It would look like a bunch of white women. They all graduated. They all helped each other. They all finished the course. So, yeah, they're just a sign of victory. But with black people, anything and everything we do is being looked at as a political statement. And it's a bunch of bull.
Yeah, just a bunch of bull. You're exactly right about that. Just nonsense.
Well, I think it's coming from the climax we in right now with Donald Trump and the Ted Cruz and different ones. It's so hatred right now. It's a lot of hatred, and I think they feel like, okay, you had this black president, and I feel like they saying, okay, y'all thought you're going to take over, you've been trying to take over, but okay, we're going to put you back in your place we finna show you that you're not going to take over. You know, that's just the way I perceive it. I perceive it that they want to put you in your place and let you know, hey, you're going back into your place.
We've already been in our place, Delta. They'd already kept us in our box because when they elected Barack Obama, Barack Obama was just a symbolic gesture, a bone, a meatless bone that they threw at us to say, okay, we're going to put him in place because what we want to do is we want to scrap everything from the civil rights era. We're going to cut it off with Barack Obama. So we're going to give you your symbolic victory of, okay, a black man as president. So y'all can't complain and say, okay, no black man ever held the highest office. Y'all had your black governors, your black senators, your police chiefs, and all of that other stuff. So that's been the capstone of the civil rights, so y'all have done it. So what we intend to do now, we intend to take everything back because right now the gays are the face of the civil rights movement. Everything is about the LGBTQ. They have taken over the civil rights movement. Black people have been pretty much nullified with Barack Obama. That's why they put him in office. To nullify us and to totally erase us out of the equation as far as civil rights. So we are finished. We are done for. So what they're doing right now, this is just white people's angst. You know, it ain't nothing new. White people just always like to look for a cover when they're doing something to you. They always want to find a scapegoat or something to use as their cover to say, this is why it happened to you because this is your fault and some or the other you did it. So this is what we're going to use to blame you for it. That's how they've always operated. This is nothing new.
What I find really interesting is how, with all of the controversy around the North Carolina governor that with all of this transgender bathroom and business and carrying on. Now, all of these people came out and we're going to pull this out. We're not going to come here. We're not going to we're pulling out. We're not going to perform here, play here, do business there. But they can't. Why has this not happened? Let me say it like that. Why has this not happened when, say, someone like Mike Brown is viciously shot down in the street or Trayvon Martin? Why couldn't we have that?
All of these black people, as you said, that got killed, and none of these people, especially like St. Louis, where the Church of God in Christ had their convention. They didn't pull their damn convention from St. Louis. The NAACP had their convention in Orlando, Florida, when Trayvon Martin's situation was going. They didn't pull their stuff from there.
Exactly.
But you see, we don't exercise the little bit of power that we might have. We do not exercise it at the right time. These gay people are showing you, okay, they got the NBA, they got everybody else to pull their stuff from North Carolina. They got all these Negro, because I saw the Negro Stephanie Rollins Blake in Baltimore. She decided some kind of convention or whatever they're going to have in North Carolina. She decided, okay, we're not going to have it there because we're going to show support for the LGBTQ. You see, they can do that. That's why, you know, these Negroes could show solidarity for the gays, the Jews, the Latinos, everybody else. But when it comes to their people, they don't show that support. And you see, the problem with us, we don't punish our damn traitors. We don't punish people who do things to us. And that is why they could keep on doing it, and then other community could step in and do the same damn thing that they see we allow these Negroes to do to us. They come on in and they do the same that the Chinese, the Arabs, and everybody else disrespect us. Because we don't control the people and what is happening to us. We don't control our inside traitors. We don't punish them enough. We elect them and put them back in office to say, okay, we want to have a black face in high place. Instead of punishing their behind by taking them out.
That's right. We let them continue to piddle around in the neighborhood when we should run them out. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to hear your thoughts on this whole Africa Bambaataa molestation allegations when we come back. Delta, have you heard about that?
I most certainly have. I'll be ready.
Okay. I'm going to play a clip from one of the accusers, and then we'll have some discussion around this because this is like, oh, my God, are you serious? What in the world? African Bambaataa, you've been messing with boys? You've been messing with the children? Please tell me no. Please tell me this is not so. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
free. You're free. No. No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
We are back here at the Lotus Place. You can call in 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 and press pound. Press star 61 if you'd like to speak. And also we would like for you to go onto the Black Talk Radio Network page and donate so that we can keep these shows coming to you 24 hours a day. Now, this story on Afrika Bambaataa, I was like completely floored when I started hearing that Afrika Bambaataa was, who was like one of the fathers of hip hop in the Bronx. So people were starting to come out with these rumors, which now people are saying, oh, this has been going on for years and people knew about this. This is not new. It's just now people are speaking out. It's getting out more. It's hit the airwaves, so to speak. And so a few accusers have come out. I mean, this is almost, it's very similar to, what's his name, Bishop Eddie Long's story. You have one accuser coming out, then here comes another one, then another one, then another. It's like, oh, Lord, the floodgates. So, but I do take molestation very seriously. And so, I mean, if this has happened to these men, which, I mean, they say that it has happened, and they're not saying no alleged and all of this. They said this happened, and other people know it happened. I just, oh, my God, my heart goes out to them. Let me just share this clip. This is the third man who makes the sexual claim that Afrika Bambaataa molested him. This is a video clip.
It ain't no easy way to say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Shit should have been done a long time ago. That motherfucker got on a bus to protest justice or else. All y'all motherfuckers, justice or else. Question. How y'all get on a bus and go out of town to fight for justice for your people, but at the same time, y'all sitting around protecting a pedophile? All y'all niggas know. Ahmed, you said you left the apartment go on Bronx River because you got tired of all that shit that was going on in that room. You knew. Question is, I was a little boy at the time. Why the fuck you ain't never knock on that door and pull me out of that room with that grown-ass man? Why y'all let so many years go by of this man running around, and even still, a couple of years ago, you got stabbed because he want to be sucking a man dick, date-raping motherfuckers, and sucking their dick in their fucking sleep. And that's why you got stabbed, and that's why he got stabbed. And everybody running up to the hospital, oh, Bam got touched. Yeah, he got touched. He should have been touched a long time ago. I don't even understand how I ain't touched you. Big brother, big homie. I don't understand how I ain't air you out. But I guess that's why I've been to jail so many times for so many homicides. You fucked my brain up. Really did. Even though I ain't never killed nobody, I just been in jail the whole life. I get my drift. You fucked me up as a little boy. So much to the point to where that, when I get hacked, wife, you be like, you been fucking all my bitches, man. You can't even get hard for me. Nah, I'm just having flashbacks of a grown-ass man sucking on my fucking dick. At 12 years old. Playing with a bunch of little fucking boys. You ain't just touching on one little boy, nigga. You touched on 1,000. Hey, Paul Pacheco, what if I sat up here and I told you that Bam was fucking your little brother? I saw it. Safi, Let's stop playing games. Man was playing with your little brother, too. We can keep on going on. Keep on. You come out of the closet. You was a little boy, too. Man was sucking on everybody little pee-pee. You fucking child molester. You a faggot. You're nasty. You're the reason why I hate gay people. I should have been exposed your ass a long time ago. But it's kind of hard to tell somebody that a grown man touched you and you ain't a faggot. It's kind of hard to even look a motherfucker in the face. It's hard for me to make this video. Bottom line to it is, y'all protect him. Amber, Ahmed, Tafik, all y'all niggas protect that nigga. Y'all know what the fuck he is. Y'all know what he is. You invite people to Zulu Nation, you know what they say? We ain't fucking with the boy lovers. And it's sad because you got a lot of great soldiers, a lot of motherfuckers that lost their life behind the Zulu Nation. Lost their life. Y'all say it ain't no room for homosexuality in hip-hop? How the fuck do you say that? The founder, the creator of hip-hop, Afrika Bambaataa, Lance. Not only is he a faggot, but he fucked little boys. Yeah. And keep in mind, this is coming from one of the realest niggas in the streets. Y'all know me. And let me make something clear to y'all. Any one of y'all bitch ass niggas that know me, that make a video, that stand up and go against what I'm saying, and y'all know it's true, it's on our site. Point blank, period. I'm not biting my tongue. I'm airing everybody out. You cover up for that nigga, it's on. The worst motherfucker in the world is a pedophile. The worst motherfucker in the world is a pedophile. Y'all covered up for that nigga. Y'all knew what he was doing. I mean, how many boys you seen go up in that motherfucking room?
DoggyDiamondsTV.com.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Doggy Diamonds for DoggyDiamondsTV.com. You are now on the official YouTube Doggy Diamonds TV. I'm also on Facebook under Doggy Diamonds. I'm on Twitter, Doggy Diamonds. On Instagram, Doggy Diamonds TV. Got all the promo done. Let me get right into it. This Afrika Bambaataa thing is getting kind of crazy. Four men have come out and accused him of molesting him or having some type of sexual contact with him. At first, when I first heard the first story, I was like, yeah, okay. Because I don't know if y'all know, but some of us in the hip-hop community has been hearing these rumors about Afrika Bambaataa for years. That he's gay, that he molests, you know, young boys, and he liked boys and all that shit. And I always just looked at it as rumors, like, well, you know, nothing is factual, nothing has ever came out. You know, they make up all types of shit about people, so that don't mean it's true. But I am saying that I've heard this before, years ago, that, you know, that this was what it was, you know. So now in 2016, you having people coming out actually saying, you know, they had contact with him. And this is why people, you know, believe that he's guilty, because he's never came out and said the shit ain't true. I know for legal reasons, he's probably going to do prepared statements and all that. And I seen statements, you know, via the Zulu Nation. At first, they, you know, denied it. And what I don't like about that is that how is the Zulu Nation speaking on behalf of a man? This don't have nothing to do with the Zulu Nation. Like, this is not a Zulu Nation incident. It's an incident pertaining to the man. Like, if President Obama does something, he can't say, you know, the United States, he can't say something unless he did something with the United States military or the United States people. But if it's something that he did as a man, he has to speak on his behalf. He can't speak for us, like when Bill Clinton and the Monica Lewinsky situation.
Okay, so people are saying that this was known about Afrika Bambaataa. So Delta, you watch the news station. So what have you been?
Yeah. Now this is probably what's gonna sink him, because it was on the news the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, one of the men, they said this had been going on for years, but nobody did anything. Just like the man is saying, this is what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And back years ago, we all know child abuse and sexual abuse, we all kept it in the closet. Nobody never talked about it. But mm-hmm. this day and time, people are bringing it out. People are not ashamed of it. And mm-hmm. what happened is, one of the men who came out against him now is a senator. The man have grown up to be a senator. And so this man have no reason to lie. He's not asking for money. From my understanding on the news, he's not asking for money or anything. But they say he's a prominent senator. And he have come out and said he molested him as a child. Okay. Now, look, I don't have no problem with nobody. Well, I kind of have a problem in a sense, in a way, being gay. But what I mean, let me kind of break it down. If you gay and you want to be gay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But don't harm the children.
Mm-hmm. Go find you an adult your age that wants
yeah,
to engage
don't
with you
harm
like
the children,
that.
But a
people.
Lot of the people, and just like the other day, they was talking and they was bringing this up, and they said it's the same thing in the acting business. They say a lot of the young kids and a lot of the young girls are being molested as kids in the acting
oh, yeah.
community. So
mm-hmm.
they know this, but they turn their head. But yes, so this is what they said. The man who have came out, the last man who have came out is a prominent senator. He have rose to be a senator, and he have came out and said he molested him. He's not asking for any money or nothing. He just, I guess he's coming out just like Cosby with all these women. A lot of us don't believe Cosby done this. I believe he done it. I really do. Because let me tell you one thing. Ain't no 30-something women's going to keep coming out. Cosby did something, and Cosby hung himself. And I don't want to get off into that. And see, and this is what we got to realize. We, as in the black community, we kept child molested. We kept it under the cover. We knew it was going on years ago,
mm-hmm.
and nobody said anything about it. People,
yeah.
It was something that they
called. You know, you got that uncle, that one uncle or two uncles that's always messing with somebody.
Yes,
somebody,
and they were always telling you to keep it quiet. Don't say
mm-hmm.
nothing. Don't say nothing. Don't say. And you know, in the black community, we was taught that away. We taught
mm-hmm.
you just don't say anything. Like, because Monique, think about the actress Monique. Monique came out against her brother. What did her mama say? The mama didn't, and father didn't say he didn't do what he did to Monique.
Mm-hmm.
She told Monique we should have kept it among the family.
You know, we talked about a story here. This lady was married to this man, and she had a young girl, and she was allowing the father, her husband, it wasn't the girl's father, it was the stepfather. She was allowing the stepfather to molest the girl. He ended up killing the girl when she became impregnated with his child. But, yeah, this whole Africa Bambaataa, welcome in, Icy Hot is with us. I want to hear what Icy Hot has to say. Has she heard anything about this? And Sarah, I know Sarah has some commentary on this story. I really want to hear what you have to say, too. Hey, Icy Hot, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just getting in from the university, the Black Educators. Here we gave some awards out to six graduating high school seniors tonight, and we gave some awards to some very wonderful seniors and
eight of those risk-taking awards for being brave soldiers in this battle that we face with educating our children and our community of taking care of them. So I'm feeling real good about that. So I'm calling in now that I'm back. And, my God, that was so sad what I heard from that clip. That is so sad.
Yeah.
And different communities, I would say, are different. Because in where I grew up at, let me tell you what they did to the men that harmed any children. I hate to say this, but they killed them. They really did.
Oh.
Yeah. You mess with somebody. You mess with somebody.
Yeah, you mess with somebody, you need to be killed.
You mess with somebody's baby girl, you dead. Yeah. Everybody knew about it. They didn't hide nothing. Oh, no. Oh, no. You will be dead. You will be dead. You won't even
get your butt.
And
can I give a good story and a true story?
And let me finish. Let me finish. You talk. Let me finish. You don't talk. Now it's my turn.
Okay.
Let me just finish this one little rap here now. We were talking about the man that he was talking about how that affects boys. And all I wanted to say finally is that boys, that is one of the untapped problems in our community, not just with them doing little boys like that, giving them oral sex, but women doing the same thing, grown, old, nasty women.
Mm.
And that's why a lot of
little
these
boys,
that's why a lot of these little boys, they grow up to be men that hate women. Just like Tyler Perry's story, they do it too. But like you're saying, and that it was just sad for me to hear that. Now, I'm done. I just want to finish it up.
Sorry. I said hi. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just, since I'm going to tell a secret, I'm going to just tell a secret. Just since we're talking now, I'm going to tell a secret. During my first marriage, husband's mother, we went to a family reunion. So this is how I know people keep stuff. We went to a family reunion. Oh, how you have one auntie get too much to drink. The one auntie got too much to drink. Every time the auntie tried to come towards me and my husband, they would keep her away from me and my husband. She kept saying, I got something to say. But the aunt had got drunk, and they was having a family reunion. So they finally got her away from us. We was there visiting. So finally, his mother, my first husband who passed away, his mother couldn't hold the secret anymore because she saw the secret was sent to get told. So she sat me and my husband down. I never forget. And it was so sad. She sat us down, and she told us, she said, she called my husband. She said, well, I ain't going to call his name because somebody may hear it. But anyway, she says, I want to tell you something. She says, I was raped by my father. She said, and I had a baby from my father, and the baby died. She said, one of my other sisters had a baby from my father. She said it was five girls. And she said, my father molested all of us. She said we lived on a plantation. And she said the guy, the white man that owned the farm, heard her hollering and screaming and came and called her father molesting her. The white man put them off the farm, told them they had to leave that night. She said her mother found out what happened, but she said her mother could not leave the father. Her mother had to take it back then because her mother had eight kids. And she said back then her mother couldn't read and write. She worked in the field. And there was no such thing as welfare and food stamps. And she said her mother had to stay there and take that. And that she knew that her husband had molested her all of the girls and two of the girls had babies. So this stuff do goes on, and people keep it a secret. They keep it a secret. They really, really do. And you do more harm when you keep it a secret, because it continues, it'll continue to go on and on and on and on and on. Nobody puts a stop to it. Nobody. It's like something you just don't talk about.
Well, Delta and Icy, that is something from our plantation days, going through slavery. That is what has been forced upon us, because when you have men raping their own daughters and their mothers and their sisters in order to produce more enslaved black people, that's why we are so mucked up, which is why I said white people cannot, you know, white people are going to have to be paying for what they have done to the black people in this part of the world. The debauchery that they have put on, because from the time they went to the African continent and they saw all these black women, you know, walking around naked, which was our custom because it's a hot climate. That's how we walk around. Nobody looks at this as a sexual thing. But these beasts came out of Europe and they see these nubile women in a semi-nude condition. And they got a hold of them and they start raping. And that's when I raped on the, over there, raped on these, on the slave ships and the slave cabin in the fields. And now you have this in our family. And this is not making any excuse for it, because we're not under that type of condition. And any man who will lay down with a woman and make children and then turn around and look at these children in a sexual manner, you can't reform him. You cannot reform that person. You have got to kill them. It's you know, there's no other way to go. There's nothing but death for them, because you have violated the law of human nature. For you to go back into your own daughters that you helped bring into this world, and you would end up, you know, making children with your own. Which we're not on a slave plantation. Are we supposed to be semi-free? You got all these other women that you can go here and you can procreate with. Why you got to look at your own daughters?
Your own daughters.
That is sickness, you see. Because my father used to always tell us when we were coming up as children, we were not allowed to sit on no grown man's lap. My uncles, it don't matter who they are, if they're coming there visit, and they, my father said, no, we never did Santa Claus. We never did none of that stuff as children. Because my father's whole idea was that you are not to sit on nobody's lap. We did it with my father until we got to a certain age as babies, because I remember myself with my father, you know, bouncing us on his knees. But once you got to a certain age, you didn't sit on nobody's lap. No more of that for girls.
Uh-uh.
And you see it all the time, because that is why I'm against it. You know, these people taking your children to Santa Claus and you forcing your children to sit on strange people's laps, especially when children are scared. You know, not only with Santa Claus, but with any grown person, you have a child, and the child don't want to go towards a relative. They are frightened.
Uh-huh.
They're hanging back. You keep pushing yourself. What's the matter with you? You need to go on over there and get them a hug and all this. You know, we do that to our children, but children have intuition more so than us, and they can sense evil in somebody. And there's a reason why that child don't want to go to that person. We keep pushing them. I say, you better go on over there before I take this belt towards your behind if you don't want to go give that person a hug or a kiss. And they have a reason why they don't want to do it. So we should not force our children to go to people and do things if they don't want to do it. There's a reason why.
There's a reason why. Like you said, children, they still have that strong intuition more so than we do. And you should listen to your children, because maybe their behavior towards that person is their way of trying to tell you, I'm uncomfortable with this person, because they may not be able to articulate it. But if a young child, a three-year-old child is terrified of going to their uncle, staying over their uncle's house or something, it's a reason. And we do, we hide too much stuff. We keep too many things under wraps. I know too many people that have had to keep quiet while they were being molested as a child.
And now they're all messed up as adults or have issues and all of these things.
It becomes generational. It passes on from generation. Okay, because I was molested as a child. Now I'm going to victimize you, and then you're going to victimize somebody else. And it becomes a never-ending cycle of victims that's going on and on, because this situation is, you know, Delta is talking about with our in-laws, that stuff could trace its way all the way back to the plantation where this stuff was done. And it was looked at as being normal. Now, this man to turn around and do, he know better. He's not a retard. He don't have a pea-sized brain. He know if he married this woman and he had children, he know better than to go and touch his daughters.
That's
insane. They should have castrated his behind and then hang him on a goddamn tree. That's a case where you shouldn't do that, because you have totally destroyed these children. They have been totally ruined. And back to the African Bambaataa, it's hard for a man to come out and say he was violated by another man. But for women, it's hard. When women get touched, it's hard.
You're absolutely right.
But for a grown man to come out, because I saw the interview with Ronald Savage. This man was shaking. He had the shivers. He was twitching. You know, he was so messed up. And this man was in his 50s, and this stuff happened when he was in his teens. And he was still messed up that he couldn't even talk without shaking. And you know it's the truth. It is hard for a grown man to come in and say another man touched him, because it breaks all kinds of taboo. It's, you know, for a woman to do it, you know, people say, oh, man, you know, you should enjoy that. You know, a woman giving you a pass and she's doing that, you know, you shouldn't even be complaining. But for a man to touch another man and do it like that, that breaks all taboo. And what he said, I believe him. I believe that man at Bambaataa was doing it. And he got the right goddamn name, Bambaataa.
I would just say he has the right name. Let me see. Now, this clip right here, I'm just going to play a little bit of this one, because this one's kind of long, and we can have some dialogue around this one. I think this is it. Let's see.
Good evening. This is the Star Chamber. Thank you for stopping.
A little bit.
Credit, who sounds like he's, you know, drinking cheeseburgers through a straw now. He probably doesn't know Ronald Savage, but if you mentioned B. Stinger to him, he would probably know who B. Stinger is. B. Stinger is Ronald Savage, and it's already been confirmed that B. Stinger is very well known throughout the Zulu Nation's archives and history. In fact, my homie Lord Jamar, when I interviewed him last week, he said, yeah, I know B. Stinger. B. Stinger used to be at the Zulu Nation studio, and he's very well known. But anyway, so that's what we want. That's what you want, for Afrika Bambaataa to speak up about these allegations. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm still going hard in the paint, because I spoke to another person today, another man, 50 years of age. I don't want to say what state he lives in, but I keep detailed records, because I can't get on this microphone and speak objectively and not have proof and research with regards to what I'm saying. I'm avoiding all types of lawsuits, and that's why I always say allegedly, but at the same time, if I spit something out, it's because I have researched it and I do have a source. So, it's good that Afrika Bambaataa has spoken up. Ed Lover asked him some very basic questions, and I'm not going to pick apart Ed's interview. Ed is he's a great guy. He's an awesome human being. I did research for Ed Lover back on Hot 97 when I first gangstered my way into the morning show. And so we had a working relationship. I was a research manager of sorts. I would collect information and compile it and put it in front of Ed's area, and Kurt Flirt, and I think Maya was there before Steph Lover. So I know Ed. And I say this not to be disrespectful, but I know when Ed is reading from a piece of paper. He was reading questions to Afrika Bambaataa. And I'm not mad at Ed for that. But part of the interview was very contrived and packaged. I'm not mad at Afrika Bambaataa for that. He wanted to go to what's called a safe haven to speak out. But he has spoken out nonetheless. And that's what you wanted. That's what I wanted. Now, I'm going to turn up. I'm going to turn up now. And I'm going to turn up by way of research, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to speak about, pardon me, some of the people that were in the midst and the company of Afrika Bambaataa. I keep hearing a certain name, a name Ahmed, and some other people who may have been co-conspirators, allegedly. So don't get it twisted by way of Afrika Bambaataa speaking up. Star is now going in deeper. If you are someone who lives in another state, or you know someone who has allegedly been touched or been involved with something by way of Afrika Bambaataa or Ahmed, please holler at your boy. I don't play no games. I'm friends to none of these guys. Now, here's what I also want to say with regards to the interview with Ed Lover and Moni Love, who I love her. With all due respect, Moni Love is too close to Afrika Bambaataa. She's biased. She's emotional. Don't let her comments scare anyone out there or sway you from contacting me about Afrika Bambaataa allegedly touching you. There has been no cease and desist letter sent to me, the hater. None. So don't let Moni Love's comments scare you to thinking that, you know, the claims or the defamation, yada, 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 that's bullshit. And I say this with all due respect. She hasn't interviewed anybody, any alleged victims, nor has she done her research, respectfully. But again, you can call me, you can talk about the interview if you've heard it. I think it's a great thing that he's speaking. But we've got... Why now? I'll tell you why now. Because... Once impressionable minds have now grown up into mature, rational adults. And allegedly there's some things that they just can't forget. Or some things that they have blocked out, allegedly. Good evening. Who's on the line?
Star. Yes. Hello, Houston.
Yes, sir. How are you? Can you speak up, sir?
Yeah, man. I was calling on the Afrika Bambaataa thing, man. Got word. Allegedly, somewhere down in the Bronx River, man, they got a small apartment with Prince playing in the background and Afrika Bambaataa and a couple boys back there, man.
Okay.
So we got to put an end to this shit.
Now,
man.
Can I ask you to get up off that motherfucking headset and talk to me, my nigga? I'm on my grizzly right now. I'm in the New York Daily News every day. Show me some fucking respect, please. What's poppin'?
Man, I'm good. Man. I'm getting ready to hit the donate button, man. You've been sending it on fire.
Yeah. You see me in today's New York Daily News, yesterday's New York Daily News, and the day before that, New York Daily News?
Man, you might want to hire some security, man. They on your neck.
Sir, we've had that discussion years ago. I carry 20 rounds for 30 clowns. Please, come on, man. Come on.
Hey, man, well, I'm going to hit the donate button. You be safe out there, man.
Thank you, man. And pick up that New York Daily News. You feel me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yes, sir. 570-369-5459. Yes, Afrika Bambaataa has finally spoken up. Let's talk about this shit. Good evening. Who's on the line?
Hey, Star.
Hey.
Peace. This is our born understanding, you know what I mean? I'm out here in Vegas, Star. I've been following you for a minute.
Peace, black man.
This Bambaataa shit crazy.
Yes, it is.
I heard his little interview, you know what I'm saying, with Ed Lover and Moni Love, and that shit was like, these people that, like, so-called support him, like, these people is really, like, rooting for him, like, they trying to make it seem like there's an attack on him because of all the positive that he's done. Get the fuck out of here, man. I'm going to tell you right now, I was molested when I was younger, you know what I'm saying,
wow.
And that shit, like, people don't understand how hard it is to let somebody know that that shit happened.
Right.
The reason I'm not fucked up is because I confronted the dude that did it to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Everybody ain't built like that,
right.
though. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Speak on it.
So it's like, yo, how this nigga talking about, like, yeah, there's an attack on me, all this stuff I did. My nigga, who gives a fuck about that shit?
Yeah.
Let's not forget, Lucifer was an angel. You know what I'm saying? I know, and I know you understand, too. The worst kind of devil is a black one, because they look like you.
Speak on it. Speak on it. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? And this shit got me tight. I've been following this shit since it popped off back a couple years ago when the young dude called in and said it happened to his cousin, and his cousin wigged out and poked the nigga up. I've been following this shit since then, because like I said, I was molested back in the day when I was a kid.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be 38 in August.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? This shit crazy, man, how people is just like, they giving this nigga a pass.
Yeah. Hey, wait, if I can just say this, I commend you for being strong. I commend you for not, you know, catching the body. I commend you for speaking up and possibly inspiring others to speak up, man. And I appreciate you calling me right now on some real shit, man. On some real shit.
Oh, this shit bugged out, yo. And it's like, yo, this nigga trying to shield this dirty religion with hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck what he did. I don't give a fuck if the nigga walked on water. This nigga sick and he need to be... Fuck all that rehabilitation shit. How you rehabilitate that? Moose had a hard time civilizing the devil. This nigga fucking with kids?
Allegedly. Yeah. Hey,
man,
I think,
I appreciate you, you know what I mean, for putting this shit out and standing strong on it, you know what I'm saying? Because you could have easily backed out, you know what I mean? But it's like, yo, this shit is for real, and I know you be talking a lot of crazy shit, but I know you understand. This is, yo, the babies is the greatest star.
You're right, you're right. And you know, I'm staying on this. You know, at the same time, I commend him for speaking up, but at the same time, you know, he knows what's happening behind the scenes. I'm going to talk about that next, but thank you for your call. Thank you.
No doubt, Star P.
Okay, so I normally wouldn't play, like, the clips of people calling in, but I wanted to play that because the young man spoke about how he was molested and how it affected him and what he did to, I guess, kind of help himself later in life by confronting the person. And not everybody has that opportunity, but I wonder, you know, is that something that maybe people that have been molested, is that like a part of therapy? Would that help people more if they were able to confront or either had a support system that was there for them to listen to them and help them through that? Because it goes back to like what you said, Delta, about us just not wanting to open up and not wanting to share, not wanting to talk about it. Because in listening to, I listened to like several clips on this African Bambaataa story today, and these people apparently knew. They knew. I mean, this man was in the room several times with boys and having them pull out their penis and fondling them and molesting them, all kinds of things. I mean, just all kinds of stories that people are saying. And Delta, I'm like you with this. I'm like you on Bill Cosby. It's not looking too good for Africa Bambaataa.
But
it's not looking too good.
But this is the only thing I say. I'm not a judgmental person because I try to love everybody, but usually, when we had the most, you get a lot of molestation in the churches too, a lot of it in the churches,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of it, and a lot of times mm-hmm. people know this stuff goes on. Like my friend girl told me, and my friend girl, she teaches school, and she told me she's very pretty. She told me the preacher filled on her breast and touched her breast. She said she went and told her mother that the preacher touched her breast. She had big breasts, and she told her mother, do you not know? She said her mother slapped her so hard and went against her and said that she was lying on the preacher. And she said she never said nothing else. A lot of times, people know this stuff, and when people's in power and they pretend to be so great, people do not believe them. And this is how they tell the kids. I'll sit here and I watched all the shows on TV. They'll tell the kids, nobody going to believe you. Nobody going to believe you. Nobody going to believe you. And I'm a person, I never rarely let my kids talk about going staying the night at somebody's house. I do. That's something I do not believe in. This is you got to. Oh my God! People don't realize what it do. Your mind is never the same. You can go on and try to live your life, try to do good, but it's something that's in the back of your mind eating you up. You know, it's something. I hear people talk about how they never the same. And just like how the man, like Sarah said something that really stood out. Like the young man, Sarah's right. Men don't come out and tell you another man on had sex with them. They don't do that. And like the young man said with Bishop Eddie Long, if you go back and pull that young man's interview up, that young man said every time he have a flashback, he smells a certain smell of Bishop Eddie Long cologne. Mm-hmm. And he said it did something to him. And the drivers and everybody knew he was doing it because he said the drivers would be sitting in the back seat. And he said, and then Bishop Eddie Long was so smooth with it, he didn't mess with them until they turned 16. He groomed them from the age of 11 and 10 all the way up till they were 16. And the young man said it messed his life up so much that he couldn't take it anymore. He had to speak out. He had to. And a lot of times when people speak out, nobody believe them. And that's how they can continue to get away with it.
One of the things that I would like to say is answer Ashira's question. I think what empowers people that have been molested is one thing. Whoever molested them, that they do confront them, but not with just words, but let the molester feel the anger that individual felt and feels. So in other words, use them as a punching bag, knock them upside the head, attack them, just, you know, get them. And that's what makes a person feel better about whoever molested them. Not talk, I ain't talking to you, this is how I feel. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to stomp you. I'm going to slap you. And that's what I want to do to you because you molested me. You did something to me. You violated me. That's what helps a person who's been violated. Mm. And then you can say, I forgive you then. See, I hear a lot of people that's been molested say, I forgive my molester. Okay, yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. When you mess with little children, you're an adult or even a situation where you groom a person from the time they're little and then do something to them when they get to be a teenager or whatever, all that, uh-uh. And on Bill Cosby, I ain't trying to defend Bill Cosby or nobody that does anything to women. But I'm going to say this still. When does the woman have to take responsibility for what her role is in this, whatever it was? We don't know. That's number one. Number two, and it's just like, I don't want nobody to be brutalized and harmed with the Mike Tyson and that young lady. Why and what responsibility? Why would you go to a man's room at 3-4 in the morning? You're sending a mixed message, women.
Yeah.
And I believe this about women. Women have to take some responsibility for situations that they get themselves into. That's one. The other one is with the Bill Cosby women thing. Any day of the week, a rich person can tack anything on you, me, or anybody else and have people pay them to do any kind of thing. I don't know if that was the case or not. You know, I'm not trying to defend him, but I'm saying
there's still something here in my head that goes like, And I still say, if he did all these women like that, did they know what he was into? Then why do you go drinking with this person if he's dropping off some drugs in your stuff and knocking you out? Women have to take some responsibility for being with a married man. Let me give you another example. What's his name? Donald Trump has been saying, Hillary abused those women just like Bill did. Bill did this to women. Let me tell you what. When do those women take responsibility for fooling with a married man? You know this man is married, but you getting off on his power because he's the governor or because he's the president or because he's this or because he's that. Women have to be held accountable, too, in these kinds of situations. So now he's going to say, this is Donald Trump saying, he has to be responsible for it, and she destroyed those women after this happened. I don't know what she did to the women after it happened, but the average woman, you go messing with my husband, I'm going to get you too. But I'm going to get him more. You're not going to be my friend. So the women have to take responsibility for their behavior. Why would you go sleeping with a married man and expect everything to be good and cool for you? That's why I rest my case. I don't want to say any more about it.
Okay, can I say something?
2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. No, go ahead, Delta. I'm disagreeing with Mother Icy Hot on that. In terms of
now, I agree with her about that. I agree with her, and I'm agreeing with you. You're right.
That was the Hollywood culture, popping pills and drugs and drinking and acid and all. I mean, illicit drugs, sexual activity. Mm-hmm. That's that cult. That was the 70s. That was the people.
But Bill Cosby said himself, though, this is what he said. He said in his deposition that he went and got the drugs, and he said it. This is his own word.
With that one girl.
But remember,
Quaaludes at that time, I think that was like 68 or 70. They weren't like illegal drugs, Spanish fly, Quaaludes. That was what people had.
But he drank without their permission, without them even knowing it.
They knew about it.
Hold up. Him and a bunch of other people, that's what they were doing.
I'm getting ready to say this. Everybody that I know that ever went out to a bar, you don't let nobody drop nothing in your drink. You watch your drink like a hawk. If you walk away from it, you don't touch it when you come back.
Exactly.
And I don't care if it's 7-Up. Everybody that I know in the where I grew up at, everybody knows that one. You don't get nobody the opportunity to drop nothing. Anyway, I still say, women have to take responsibility for their situations too, anyway, and empower themselves to take control. And I'll leave it alone at that. I don't want nobody.
I agree with Icy.
We tend to give women a pass. You know, not saying that raping a woman is beyond that, because if any time a man has to resort to raping a woman, then something is definitely wrong with you. Because rape is an act of violence. That's what you're doing. You're violating somebody's body by forcing yourself into them, and that's a violation. But we as women, and I know as me as a woman, if a man invites me up to his hotel room and it's 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I know he ain't calling me up to talk over no goddamn business contract. It ain't got nothing to do with business contract. It got to do with only one thing, and that is with sex. And if I got any sense in my head, I would say, hell no, I'm going to see you in the daylight. I would see you in the morning down in the lobby.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying on it, too. But now Bill Cosby and with some consenting adults or of age adults, and you making a decision to go up to this man's room, trying to get you a movie part, trying to get put on. Come on now, let's just keep it real.
Yes.
And you going, and now you want to come back and say he slipped some something in your drink and all of that, whatever crap, you know. Please, now with Afrika Bambaataa, if you're messing with children,
that's a whole
other.
Yeah. He needs to be ran out of the community. Because
that's right.
What he did is a violation of trust. It's a totally because here it is, this man is almost 60 years old. He's never been married. He's never been associated with any women. He don't have any children. And here it is that you hanging around with all men and all children. The thing is with the Zulu Nation, their organization is an integrated organization. Because you could be Chinese, Arab, white, anybody, you could be a part of the damn Zulu Nation.
Mm-hmm.
So because their whole motto is peace, love, and having fun. That is their whole damn idea. And their idea of having fun is to do drugs, is to screw little boys and do all of that. I tell you what, if that was a family member of mine, Bambaataa would have been we probably would have fought in the real damn Zulu Nation in South Africa because his ass would have been ran the hell up out of New York. Because he would have ran out of New York because... Mm-hmm. We don't control our community. If that was right. Italian, the Irish, the Greeks, or whatever, they would even the Arabs. You do something like that to one of their women and their children, you would have found your behind floating in the East River. That's where you would have find yourself floating because you wouldn't have nowhere to hide. But with our case, we do not provide any sort of cover. We let people do anything to our children, our women, the elderly. And we do not take a stand. Just because they got a little power position and some celebrity status, we let that happen. The situation with Michael Jackson, he might not have done anything to those children. Here it is, you're a grown-ass man hanging out with children. Something is wrong with that picture. You ain't got no business to be hanging out with children, and you're a grown man.
And then Michael Jackson made himself look like a fool because he said, when he gave the interview, he said, It's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with sleeping in the bed with I forgot the little word he used. He said it's nothing wrong with sleeping in the bed. And then the way he was holding that boy's hand, oh, my God, it gave me the creeps the way he was holding that hand. Because, look, I know when I want to get freaky with Papa, I can hold Papa's hand a certain kind of way. But you know what I'm saying?
It is sickening. It is sickening for any grown man. If this is not your children, even with your children, with my children, they slept in the bed with me up to a certain age. After that, you got to get up out of here and go into your own room and sleep in your own bed. If you got a nightmare, you get a bad dream, yeah, you can come up in there. We can sleep until you get over, but you ain't going to spend the whole night sleeping up in this bed. You can go back to your room. And that is your child that you give birth to, but these are children Michael didn't give no damn birth to. You don't know these damn children. Are you sleeping in the bed with them? Are you going to admit on TV that you do that kind of – something is wrong with you as a grown person.
Uh-huh. And then you don't put yourself – you already been accused one time. I never forget what Oprah said. Oprah said, if you've been accused one time, she said, don't put yourself back in that predicament. She said, I have always traveled with a certain amount of people, but so nobody can't say I done anything, because this was her statement. She said, nobody can't say I done anything to them. And she said, and I don't put myself in a position where I can be accused of anything.
And you
That's
have
right.
to be that careful, especially when you are a person of that statue. You're considered a celebrity, a person that has some wealth and the potential to be sued. So you have to be careful like that. So we're going to have to pick back up on this Afrika Bambaataa. Delta, keep me posted, and I'll try to get online and see what I can find
out.
Okay,
I'll send you some video.
Yeah, because that's just, I'm like you on that one, Sarah. He needs to be run out of the community. Too many people know about this, and they said they've been knowing for a long time. And, I mean, children.
Check the Delta as well as Black Rose. Check Sarnetta TV. Because they had an interview this past Saturday where the, all of these so-called independent black media, they met in New York, and they discussed the Bambaataa thing. And that should be, I think it's Black News 101 or something like that is the name of it. They have the full clip on there. If I find it, I'm going to send it to your email on
Delta.
Yeah,
somebody sent it to me. Yeah, somebody sent it to me today. I've started watching it.
Okay, so you see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did a whole thing when they talk about Bambaataa, because they need to have a tribal of elders. So he needs to come before. They need to address him. They need to run his behind up out of New York. This man should not have no place to where he can be seen in the black, anywhere black, in any black community. Run him out.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? The black community up there just is at fault. They more fault than anything because they knew what was going on and didn't do anything.
Yep. Russell Simmons, KRS-One, all of them, you know, providing this damn cover, you know, come, you know, saying, you know, talking outside of the goddamn neck. You see, that is why I don't have no celebrity. I don't follow none of these damn people. Because before you know it, they're gonna always disappoint you because they're going to open their damn mouth and really let you see what they're all about.
What they're all about.
Nothing.
Well, we will be back on Friday night, so stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much, Sarah, for calling in. Thank
well,
you, Delta.
You're welcome, baby.
Yeah. And thank you, Aisha.
You know,
thank you, Scotty.
Thank you. Well, we sure had one here that was, you know, saying, okay, I'm just helping this little girl out or whatever, and after a couple of 2-3 years, you start fooling around with them. We ran him out. He was very uncomfortable.
Y'all ran him out. Good. That's what we need to do. Run him out. Run them all out. Shit and then run him out. Good night and namaste.